Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene, the podcast about staying sane online and offline. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And today is our Robin Hood episode. We never got to do an episode last week. I apologize for my sound quality. I got something running in the background here that I can't turn off. But do you do a lot of 3D printing, Lauren?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I 3D print plastic puppets.
Plastic puppets.
I'm printing plastic puppets.
I don't mind 3D printing. I enjoy the concept, the idea that I can basically create an object in like in my house. But then again, that's like woodworking too.
It's good for commercial use. I don't want to spend 18 hours making a 1x2 piece of plastic that does nothing.
I'm spending 21 hours on this project, on this thing that I'm printing.
And what is this genius thing you're making?
It's a pen holder, Lauren. It's a pen holder.
It's a pen holder. It takes you 21 hours. how much in the resin or the fiber or whatever you call
that
plastic?
It's not that much fiber. It's not that much fiber. It's fine.
Go to order it on Staples, or better yet, go to a store with a mask on, buy one for $1.99, be done with it in a half hour. You could drive to Chicago, buy a pen holder, go back.
And I'd probably have a better time.
You'd have a better time. It'd be cheaper. And it would take less time.
All right. Thank you, 3D printing.
All right.
Saving my life.
What's on the agenda for today?
Robin Hood. That was a big thing. We got some Apple stuff, and we got Bitcoin is just going nuts, wacky.
Well, let's start, I guess, with the Robin Hood stuff. I've become a day trader.
You become a day trader? You're totally in?
Yeah, I'm totally in. Well, what happened was all of this happened, and I've never been a guy who thinks a lot about money or is involved in this stuff. But I was like, you know what? I'm getting old. I probably should think about it a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I saw all of this Robin Hood GameStop stuff happening. So I called the family banker in Switzerland. And I said, listen, why don't you send me over like $3 million?
Yeah.
I'm gonna open this Robin Hood account and see if I can do something with the Feldman family, a little part of the Feldman family trust.
Yeah, of course.
And so he wired me over $3 million, and I put it into the Robinhood account.
And what did the Feldmans make their money in? Was that Lederhosen or Kuckucklocks?
No, actually, it was oil and gas.
Oil and gas, okay.
Yeah, good. It was oil and gas. My grandfather was an oil and gas man. He actually had a Texaco and then a Mobil in Far Rockaway.
Oh, that's nice.
Did very well. Smart guy. Anyway, I opened the Robin account, and this was like the day that it was all happening, or the next day, or like right when it was all happening. And apparently that wasn't the way to go, because Robin Hood
went completely kaput. Yeah.
Right. As we know. So all of the smart money, including the Feldman family trust money, moved over to this new company that all the cool kids said Webull or Webull. I'm not sure how you pronounce it, Biggs.
I've never seen it. What is it?
It's W-E-B-U-L-L.
Webull, I guess it would be.
Yeah, right, Webull. And that's the new go-to Robin Hood, since Robin Hood screwed everybody over.
So the trick is this stuff has to stay up like during these massive rushes, but it's not staying up, and primarily because these guys haven't built them with any intensity or any intent that they would ever have like 2 million people trying to hit GameStop at once.
Right. The problem is their financial infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So they just don't have enough in the bank to cover the explosive volume that all these companies have seen. And that's the problem. And that's why a company like, a TD or somebody like that doesn't have as much problems. Well, what all I don't, these what guys I don't understand are FDI is, insured and all of that yeah. either way, but still.
But why doesn't just like JP Morgan just come in and like make like J-Bull and just knock the pants off?
Because I don't know if they necessarily want Mickey Mouse retail traders. How does that help them? These nitwits coming in and ruining their plans. So they can say they have a cool app. It's cooler that I called the Feldman family banker at Credit Suisse and there is no app. There's just Sven, you know?
I think his name wouldn't be Sven. It would be like Artur or something like that.
He could have come from somewhere else. Thorsten. You don't know that. Thorsten, yeah. He came from Norway and now works there.
He's a Norwegian. We don't know that.
He's a Norwegian banker who now works at Credit Suisse.
He said it was oil and gas, so maybe he's bringing gas out of Norway. Gas, well,
that's
there's plenty
Feldman.
Of gas.
That's the Feldman family money. You're all confused.
But the point is,
I don't know what the point is. You threw me off track there for a minute.
Okay, so how can you trust? How can you become a day trader in an environment where the tools that you're using are going to fail on you?
Well, that's the big problem. Mm-hmm. That's why I bring up this Webull, and of course I'm not plugging them, no financial interest or anything like that. But that's like the big interesting thing where Robinhood really built, you know, great traction and lost it instantly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you do a search on Twitter or anywhere else about these companies, you'll see like it's massive the amount of people who just switched.
Well, that's
interesting. It's like the financial social media switch in a way, almost from like, you know, MySpace to Facebook, to use a horrible analogy.
Yeah.
But it's kind of true.
This also frustrates the early investor. So like if you're in a position, if you take a position, if you're long or short or whatever you're taking, and the whole system basically just breaks, you're going to be deeply frustrated, and you're going to lose a lot of money, which is another big thing. Like there are definitely situations where you can lose cash.
Well, just like social media, to use the horrible analogy, you know, whenever the system goes down, you're going to get screwed. I mean, the little guy's always going to get screwed in any system. We know that. You know, like in any system, the little guy's going to get screwed.
Yeah.
But if you can dip in and out, and hopefully that doesn't happen on a day when you're making a six-figure trade or something at that particular second, you know, it's much better than it was, let's say, 20 years ago.
Yeah, if you're making a six-figure
stockbroker and do that whole thing.
If you're making a six-figure trade, I bet you your stockbroker is going to call you, right? So that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It gets to a different level. I mean, long-term investing and this nonsense are entirely different things. You know, entirely different things.
All right. What do we think about these AR glasses? The Apple AR glasses.
I'm psyched for them. Supposedly they're going to be thousands of dollars.
Yeah, $3,000 for these things. Well, rumored, right? Nobody knows what the heck Apple's going to do.
I'm psyched. You know, I'm into AR. I mean, the first discussion is AR VR, right? I'm definitely an AR guy. You know, VR is just a video game. I'm not into it. I mean, I'm trying to be into it and find uses. I haven't found any super compelling as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to play with it actually for this conference I'm producing for a client of mine, and we opted not to after me looking at like state of the art. It's just still too cartoony and toyish. So that's why I'm not into VR necessarily. I mean, of course, porn and commercial applications apply, but whatever.
Yeah.
But AR, on the other hand, I think is tremendous, tremendous potential for consumer usage.
So what the, your view is that you're going to basically put these on these goggles on your head and you're going to what
I'm hoping that there are going to be some kind of glasses, not goggles, let's say Wayfarer type frames or, you know, something reasonable like that. And a case use would be you're walking through a city and you have hey Siri, what's that building? Mm-hmm. Or you can have auto mode. Hey Siri, set up auto location mode or whatever they call it, environment mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just look at stuff, and in the very corner of the screen will be info. I'm way into that.
Okay, I'll buy that.
I think that's great. In your house, they could actually combine it with Apple TV and TV in general, a la Shazam. So mm-hmm. Picture a visual Shazam. So you're watching TV with these things on, and you're in aware mode, and whatever's on TV, like they do with Amazon, it gives you the actor's name, bio, whatever. And also, of course, for disabled use, giant ramifications. I'm just way, way into this technology. I've always been into it. It's, kind of we've just been teased with these screens for a long time,
Like I don't mind. I have the Oculus at home and the kids played with it for a while, but now it's just kind of sitting there. It's engrossing enough to be like, hey, it's a cool party trick, but it's just not there yet. And I mean, I would agree completely. If I could just put this in, if I could put on a pair of Wayfarers and just look at everything and get some information about them. I mean, that's what our phones are. Our phones are basically extensions of our brains anyway.
Well, I think it'll have to work with the phone, from what I understand, to have the processing power. And keeping the small physical form factor on the glasses themselves, which is fine. And it'll work a la Apple Watch. And I think it's going to be awesome. And from what I understand, it's a lot of the same technology, which is going to be used in the car, in the front windshield of the car.
Yeah, exactly.
So just overall, I know that generally you and I hate everything.
Yeah.
Sometimes we separate and one of us likes something, but I don't know if that's the case here, but I really love this technology. I think it's cool. I think there's actual real world uses for it, especially if they can make it pretty seamless and easy. I'd be way into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's even uses I can think of at home where it's embellishing your computer screen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's pretty interesting that you're super bearish on this. That's a pretty big move, because I don't think, because we're cranky most days anyway. So,
correct.
You being excited about something is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to point that fact out, that we're miserable bastards, to mm-hmm. show just how excited I really am by it. I think it's a game changing thing, truthfully.
All right, we'll see how it comes out. Let's close this one up a little bit early because of the audio, but this has been Tech Hygiene. You're going to do a little day trading when we're done here. You're going to do a little
my strategy is I found these two guys I like. I do whatever they do, but I'm trying to learn, and what I do is I look at the after hours and what's hot there. But the positions I take with these guys generally take a couple of days. But I found the smartest guys I could possibly find, and I just follow them, and it seems to be working out.
All right, then. This has been Tech Hygiene. I am John Biggs.
I'm newly minted
billionaire.
My name is Lauren S. Feldman, millionaire.
Esquire.
I own a mansion and a yacht.
Wonderful. I have neither of these things, so I'm jealous. But I have a 3D printer, and I'm about to have, in about 7 or more hours, a a pen holder. So.
Yeah, lucky you.
Thanks for listening. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.